Well, good afternoon and welcome to Local Matters. Today we're focusing on education matters, and we have a special guest, someone who is on the front lines of education every day in this very, very challenging time. Patience Cannon is principal of Allgood Elementary School, and we are delighted to have you here with us today.
Well, I'm glad to be here. Thank you for the invite.
Well, good. I have two grandchildren who one has gone through AES and one is currently at AES. But for a lot of our listeners, they may not know a lot. So we'll talk a little bit about that. But first, tell us a little bit about your background, where you grew up, how you got to be principal at Allgood.
All right. Well, we moved to Allgood, Tennessee from Florida around the time that I was in second grade, which I went in to meet my new teacher, and it was Beth Matheson at the time. So she loves to tell that story about how I was her, she was my teacher, and now I'm her boss. So be good to the kids that you have in class. So she loves to tell that story. And so I told her that was the first day that I fell in love with her. So when that opportunity came to have her with me, that was definitely something that was an easy decision. But I've been in Cookeville. We moved away just for a year or two to Nashville, came back. Graduated from Cookeville High School, went out to Tech. I have 3 degrees from Tennessee Tech. I started in business, went to education, went back and got my master's in business, and then an EDS in instructional leadership.
Well, wings so, up, go Tech.
There we go. And so it was just one of those things where I feel like the Lord opened doors and things were easy, and I just decided to take that step and do what I felt like I was being called to do.
So, and it's pretty neat to go back to the school that you sort of grew up
in. It is an honor. I know that I'm not a crier, but when I had that interview, I did cry. And, of course, your daughter-in-law was in there, and I'm sure she has some great stories about that. But it was because it was such an honor, and I was nervous, like, can I do this? Am I going to do the best job that I want to do for this school because it means so much to me? So it was extra special, and I have tried every day. Of course, with COVID, I tell people, you know, we used to take one day at a time. Now it's just 15 minutes. Just give me 15 minutes at a time.
Well, I have a granddaughter who went back to her middle school to teach English and in Florida, and that was a special thing for her too. Now, where at in Florida did you move from?
Hollywood, Florida.
Hollywood, and I came up here from Cocoa Beach, so we're both on the East Coast, anyway, of that. Well, how many students are at Allgood Elementary at this point?
So any given day, we always come back from a break and there's a new register, but it's a little different this year. So typically, we're about 510. In the past, we've been over 600, and so we have been at 100% capacity. And then this year, a little different, we took about 30 students from other schools as a part of the remote process. So we lost 6 kids, but we took 30 just because our numbers would allow it. And I know some of the other principals were extremely grateful to be able to realign their teachers just because of overpopulation.
Yeah.
So just all of us pitching in. So have about 540 in-house as far as all of that goes. So about 540.
Well, that's great. That's great. And I know they're excited about their school and proud of their school. It's been a challenging year for them. I understand that too. So let's talk a little bit about the biggest challenges you've seen as principal, and then we'll talk some about the kids and their challenges too. And how about the principal's office? What kind of challenges have you seen?
So at the beginning of the year, you know, with COVID, making sure that all the guidelines are followed, just you worry more about the environment, the safety. That's always the first thing, because we always say that academics are understood at Allgood. It's the safety. It's the environment. How do the kids feel? And the teachers, because they're the ones that are going to be responsible. So just making sure that all of those things were in place, which is not something you would typically be worried about. And so just those things. And then, of course, where the kids were coming in and out of remote, you know, oh, we're going to be remote. No, we want to come back in. That was challenging. And I know all of the principals have discussed the number of students in a class and making sure everything's even. And because you planned beforehand and then you didn't know what was going to show up. So we have had lots of children who have gone towards homeschooling And then, of course, our remote option and then our face-to-face. But they just keep coming back. We started with over 120-something kids that were remote. Now we're down to about 40.
Wow.
40, yeah, wow. For our school. So, I mean, it's pretty good. I mean,
yeah.
I think once things settled, parents felt more reassured. And
yes.
our dashboard has been really good. So I think they felt safe to come back.
There was a lot of uncertainty in those
Absolutely.
Early days. And
yes.
I know there were parents that were just really, really questioning how this was all going to work.
Sure.
And I think we're still in that mode to some degree.
Yes.
Corby King and I were talking in an earlier time about planning for the rest of the year. And I know there are many people who think this probably is going to be with us till the end of the school year and till that vaccine rolls out, which is going to be a while yet.
It will be, yes.
So it's we're in it for the long haul. We'll see what all that brings to us as we go forward with this. Well, let's talk about the children. What kind of challenges do you think they've faced during this time?
The kids have been great. I think the anxiety was on the parents more than anything. And that's to be expected. Their world is consisting of them. They don't have the knowledge of the world and things around them and how everything is affected. So all I saw and all I have been seeing are smiling faces, even though they're underneath their masks, but their eyes are crinkling. Like you can tell when a kid is smiling, whether or not they have a mask on or not. So I think they just loved seeing one another. I know they did. You know what I mean? And then trying to get them not to hug, which we were like, okay, we can do this. We can make this happen. We can give kids love if they need it. You know what I'm saying? So it's good. They have been great. They've been, they get to the point where they don't even realize that they have their mask on.
Mm-hmm.
It's just on. It's a part of what they do in school, just like bringing a pencil. You know what I mean? So it's been wonderful. It's been a blessing. And I had told Mr. King from the beginning, I'm committed to face-to-face learning. So whatever it takes to make that happen, but I also want parents to have that option who need that at-home curriculum.
Right.
So we're in it. We're whichever way,
that's
up to
right.
you, we'll just take care of it.
I think you're right. I think the kids will adapt much easier than the parents will, or the maybe even the teachers. Now you've got some great teachers there. I know several of them, and I know they've had to adapt to something they never trained for. So how are the teachers doing?
Well, I have had a few leave, but that is to be expected. It's a stressful time. But at the same time, they just come to work. Like that's what their passion is to teach students. And they're just there. They're committed to making it work as well. So we've been doing things, of course, trying to make sure the morale stays up and that we're treating them because they need it just like the kids do, those positive reinforcements, telling them they're doing a great job. And they are. It is amazing, especially when you think of the cleaning that has to be done. And that's not going to just be done by your ABM committee. That is like your teachers are the ones making sure that every time a child moves that they're disinfecting something. So that added along with all of their planning, it's truly a blessing. Like I'm honored to lead at Allgood Elementary School. I could not, would not want to do it without the group of men and women that I have. They're just amazing. Like I said, just all the extras, and they just keep rolling with the punches, it seems like. So we're trying to make the punches less hard.
The pain is still there to a degree, but mm-hmm. we're trying to minimize
That's
it where,
right.
we,
exactly.
where we can. Well, and I know you think about all the things it takes to build a school system and to run it from the custodian to the bus drivers to just everywhere you turn, everyone's had to adapt some to this.
Absolutely, yes.
And it's been a historic time, and I hope you're writing a book about about what all has happened during this time. Well, when you talk to your students, and then also to the parents. Mm-hmm. What are some of the biggest challenges that they mention? What kind of things have been toughest on them?
Well, I know at first, like when we speak of a county, because Mr. King and I have talked about this, the remote option was so different if different schools. And so just the challenge of for him, making sure that there's consistency in our remote program, because I know that when we went in the spring, there really wasn't any guidelines, and everybody was kind of fly by the seat of your pants and just do the best you can. And so some of the concerns come from quarantine, because that's handled differently than from remote. And so we were Zooming those as well. And of course, now that we've changed everything around, it's more like if you were to take an extended vacation. And so I know that that's the next biggest challenge is, what are we going to do for those families that quarantine? Because 14 days is a long time to go without instruction. So I think that that's the county's next thing, is how can we make sure that our quarantine kids are being taken care of like our remote kids are? Wow. And so that I would like to see that become the next thing. And I know the parents, that's the concern that they have as well. When you have a child, because my own I got the phone call, just like that dreaded phone call, and you know, she may have been exposed. Okay,
sure.
What do we do? Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, I always say it's great when a principal or a teacher can go through the same things that your family does, because it becomes, you're more compassionate, you have a better understanding of where that parent is, and just like they want what's best for their child, of course I do too. And so it helps you to align with what is best, not just for the school, but the family, and how can we make this an easier process for the both of us, and get them the education they deserve. So,
and it has to be tough on them, and I'm glad that we can accommodate where we can. I know it's tough on them sometimes even to open up about the stress that they're under during this time.
Yes, I had a parent at one. She said, I was about to have surgery. My child's home on quarantine. I wasn't even sure. She was like, I could have used a counselor. And so immediately we were like, oh, in our newsletter, we're going to make sure that they have the counselor's email, her phone number, because these are stressful times.
They are.
And I thought, why in the world didn't we think of that before? So when our families come back, I always make that phone call. How's everything going? What is something that you needed that we didn't get you? And we're just trying to keep tweaking that as we go along, just so that we can provide that, you know, 100% whole child.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, this is Local Matters. We are talking education matters with the principal of Allgood Elementary School, Patience Cannon. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service too, and unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Welcome back to Education Matters. So we are talking to Patience Cannon, the principal of Allgood Elementary School, a school that is near and dear to my heart, where I have two grandchildren, one a graduate who's now at Allgood Middle, and the other a third grader. So it is great to have you here today. It's a special time in education, sort of a historic time. And I know your teachers have just gone through big, big challenges. You do something every year as principal or as part of the administration called In Service. And at least that's what it used to be called. And I used to attend several of those. But what do you think the typical In Service was like to start the fall? And what would you have done differently?
That's a great question. definitely some reflection on that area. You know, we were able to come together. We have a large enough library that our teachers could spread out, so it didn't have to be a Zoom meeting. And I think after the 6 months we were off, everyone was sick of those.
Yes.
So we were definitely just wanted to be face-to-face. We wanted to be like our students. We wanted to see each other, get together. And so we were able to have those discussions together. And then the county in service, which is always on the first day, we did do a Zoom. And they had someone from, used to work with Google and another company that we use. And we were able to see a dialogue between the two, Education Elements, which goes through, it shows some structuring. And it was all about how to engage that learner, make sure that they're taking accountability of their own learning. So that part was excellent. But we really didn't change things up. We just had to make sure that, of course, we added the cleaning schedules and that everyone had their mask on and that they were social distancing. So that was a huge priority.
I don't know if you've had any talks back with your professors at your alma mater at Tech, but I've talked to some of them. And one of the questions I'm asking is for the College of Education, how do you think the curriculum is going to change? What will be the new experiences for a teacher education candidate as they go through college? Sure. Do you think there'll be any significant changes?
Well, I would like to see different platforms, just different media that that teachers can come with that skill set, because that was our biggest hurdle. And it still is. I mean, we still have teachers who we had to have one remote teacher per grade level. And there were some that were like, I'll do anything. I will do bus duty all year long. Yes. I will car duty in the rain every day, as long as you don't make me do the remote learning. So there are still those that fear that. So I
sure.
think having kids not just know about technology, but using the platform so that when they come into the classroom, they can just do anything and not have any fear about it.
That is an acquired skill set. I remember when at Tech we went through distance learning and started offering courses online. And I thought as president, well, I need to understand it, so I should teach one. And I did. And I'm certainly glad I had a graduate student helping me, because she had to think I was a technological Neanderthal,
I think. I was actually one of the first students that did some of those distance
did
models,
you?
And it was difficult at home, but you just had
yeah.
to put yourself, organize yourself,
yes.
and make sure. And that's how I went from my education undergrad to my business, my master's in business, just because I was able to take some of those distance courses. So that was nice for me. I got to catch up over the summer.
It is indeed amazing what can be done.
Absolutely.
I was invited into a class in the doctoral program in the College of Education one night, and I said, well, do I need to come in? He said, no, you can do it from your office or your home or wherever. And I said, well, where will you be? And he said, China. And I thought, okay. You can do things that you could
Absolutely.
Not do
Makes it a
otherwise.
Very small world.
It does make it a small world. So our students are going to enter their post-P16 environment with a totally different outlook and skill set than maybe what I had when I came through anyway. Well, let's talk a bit about parents and their worries about their children, also just their worries about what the rest of this year is going to be. What would you tell parents at this point about what's coming the rest of this year, and then also just about what they can do to support their children?
Sure. So we always want to connect with our community, parents, all of our stakeholders. And so that has been a challenge. But I'm not someone who likes my picture shown. I don't do Facebook or any kind of social media. But one of the things that's been super important, because we haven't been able to have visitors on campus, is to make sure that we're seen, that parents feel like they're a part of our building. So we have been doing almost weekly videos with updates. I always send out an upcoming events like a monthly, but just having our faces there, and parents call or they'll send a message, and it's, we just love hearing your laugh. Like when you're laughing and you're smiling, then we know things aren't stressed out at school. Like
right.
If you're acting like that, then we know our kids are taken care of. So anything that I can do, even though it's not my thing at all, I would be more than happy to do to release any kind of stress. So that has been very helpful. The rest of the year, I can tell you that I know Mr. King is committed to face-to-face learning. So what we have in place now is what will be there. So at any point in time, obviously, if there's snow, we'll have snow days. If there's sickness, just like in the past, there'll be sick days. But just to know at any point in time that we have the means to transition so that kids' instruction isn't delayed, that is a huge obstacle that we've overcome. And I would definitely just the technology department at Putnam County and the devices that they've given us to make sure that all of those students that need a device are going to get one, it's going to make the transition if that were to happen. So that takes stress off of me.
Absolutely.
And so, and the teachers, because they know that everything is there. And so, like I said, we're going to take not one day at a time, but 15 minutes at a time. We're going to take 15 minutes at a time, and those 15 minutes add up to a beautiful day when we get through it, and then they add up to weeks and months. And so I think the biggest thing would be as soon as we're able to, we want to make sure that parents can come in and be a part of our schools again. That's been the thing that we've missed the most. The kids are there. The love is there. Light is shining all over the community with all the things that teachers in this county are doing. But just being able to involve those parents again. We had to cancel our literacy night. We were going to try to do a drive-through, and then the rain came through, so we had to, and that crushed us because that was going to be the first opportunity.
It's always a great night. Yes.
Yeah, it was the first opportunity where we're going to get to all be together in a sense, and so now we're just kind of waiting and seeing, hey, how's everything panning out? And it's just a waiting game, you know.
Well, you mentioned literacy. Obviously, reading and the elementary level at any level is really important, but especially at elementary. What can you tell parents about what they should be doing to support their child's reading skills?
Oh, that 20 minutes every day makes a huge difference. Just the vocabulary that comes. And sometimes parents feel like they have to make the child read all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I would tell you that, even if your child is not a reader, for you to read to them is the most important thing. They hear the inflection in your voice. They hear your tone. They hear words as, you know, that pattern, that pace that comes out, and just the knowledge that they soak up just from listening. And so even if you think they're not, they are. So anyway, but definitely that 20 minutes and just reading to your child and then getting them to read back to you.
I was with my grandson at church in a park about 3 weeks ago, and I thought he was bored stiff, wasn't paying attention. And right in the middle of the sermon, the minister said something, and Isaac immediately commented on what that meant. And I thought, he's just listening differently than I do, but he's listening to what we say.
I would be the one taking notes.
Yeah.
That's my personality. That's what I need, though. But yes.
Well, what can you tell parents? You know, some things are still normalized. We're still going to have snow days in all likelihood this winter. Yeah.
Love a good snow day.
All the teachers and administrators and students love a good snow day, no question. But you also, you still have other kinds of disaster planning and other kinds of security planning. And in one sense, you've got more control over the school now because every visitor has to be screened.
Yes.
So tell us about visitor screening and security.
Right. So one of the things that you never want to do is not want parents to come in. You know, we're fighting to get some parents in. So that's been very difficult. But at the same time, you only have so many office people who can do only so many things. And so I know that when I've had to take over in the office, I always felt like I was using, like I needed to be an octopus. Like I needed more hands because I would have the phone, the door, somebody needs something in a file. So I felt like I was shifting and moving, trying to get all these things for someone. That's definitely not my lane. I will stay in my lane. That's definitely not it. But and so by the visitors not being there, it really does cut down on the things that aren't important and lets us spend our time on the things that are, which the safety and our SRO officer, Matt McDaniel, does a fantastic job of that. Just checking doors, being able to take care of other things. Like it's just that time saver there's peace in that, knowing that we're not, which people call, of course they do. We answer phone calls. Things get dropped off. They forget their backpack, just like they did when there wasn't COVID.
Right. Yes.
So little things like that and just being more efficient. And so I know that even when parents do come back in, we have some practices in place that will definitely make those things more efficient. So
thank you so much for being with us today. This has been Local Matters, and we have been talking to Patience Cannon, who is the principal at All Good Elementary School. It's been an honor to have you with us.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Well, thank you very much.